It doesn't look like you'll be wearing salad greens soon, but you may have a choice of salmon or a blue-gray called Orchid Hush. Ilya Meritz reports on New York Fashion Week.
If you've seen the 1957 musical Funny Face, you may think trends happen like this.
Think pink when you shop for summer clothes.
Kay Thompson, as an imperious women's magazine editor, what she says goes.
But tell her if she's got to think pink.
Fashion trends may once have been made by a single individual, but if you talk to people in the business today, they will tell you a lot of the decisions are now made by committee.
We work with 10 people. They're all extremely qualified.
Twice a year, every May and November, David Shaw convenes a meeting of creative directors from around the world just to talk about color.
So I have people who work in the car business, who work with big store groups. I can't tell you the names. They're involved with everything from furniture through to clothing and knitwear.
This anonymous group of design dignitaries comes together at the invitation of Pantone, a company based in New Jersey whose business is describing, selling, and making color. The Color Forecasting Committee always meets in Europe. The city changes each time. Shaw says the walls in the room are white, so everyone can clearly see the objects their colleagues have brought in as inspiration.
We had one of our committee came last winter, and they came with a basket full of onions and chopped up all the onions to show how the beauty of the color of an onion is.
Now, Pantone has plenty of competitors in the color forecasting field. But in its core business, color standards, the company has no real rivals. At Pantone headquarters in an industrial building in a marsh outside Manhattan, the company keeps a sort of periodic table of color, 1,925 shades in all, each with a unique identifying number. In the dyeing room, 12 stainless steel machines hum and belch steam. One of them is rinsing a canary yellow piece of cloth. In the next few hours, it will be dried, cut, and sent to clients all around the world. Lori Pressman is vice president for fashion, home, and interiors. She says the goal is to provide a vocabulary through swatches and color books and computer files to enable developed world companies to talk to their overseas suppliers.
What you have now is so much production shifted to Asia, whether it's China, whether it's Indonesia, whether it's in Vietnam. It's very key to have a standard way to communicate from the design side all the way down through the supply chain.
Nacha Rejas says it works. She's CEO of ASA, a Lima-based company that works with more than a dozen Peruvian factories making clothes for Americans.
When a customer contacts us and they tell us, these are the colors that we are going to use for this specific style, and the codes of the Pantone are blah, 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 I can work very quick and save a lot of time.
And get the colors exactly right. Reha says in the old days, fabric samples were sent in the mail. There was no agreed-upon standard. Today, everyone is working with the same Pantone book, and clients can respond to trends fast. But here's a question that cuts to the heart of what fashion is. Why would any designer want to run with the pack? John Crocco is creative director for Perry Ellis. He calls color forecasts a self-fulfilling prophecy. And he says if you choose to follow them,
then you're going to be part of what ultimately becomes the trend. If you don't, then you're going to be outside of it.
And risk irrelevance, which is just about the worst thing imaginable for any label. For NPR News, I'm Ilya Meritz.